Good morning. I have a short message for you this morning. I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1 and reading again from verse 77. This is the purpose of John the Baptist's ministry, this baby to be born, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness, to guide our feet into the path of peace. What are you waiting for this Christmas? What do you long for? What do you hope for? What do you pray for? And how's it going? Each one of us has got something on our heart, on our mind, that we're just longing for to change, longing for God to do something. And it could be something really practical, or it could be something really quite deep-rooted that can only change through the intervention of God. For this couple here, it was that they longed to have a child. They longed for a child, and this man, Zechariah, had been praying perhaps for years. Had he stopped praying? We don't know. But he was certainly praying for many years to have a child. And God answered his prayer. But when God answered his prayer, he was surprised. He was surprised. He was surprised. We were in a situation ourselves as a couple where we wanted to have children, but we couldn't have children. There was no medical explanation, but it just wasn't happening. And so went to see the doctor. Alison, being a doctor, read lots of books. And then at one point, it was just at the time when we were basically ready to go to Bible college. We just decided that we were going to leave our home in Newcastle. We decided we were going to move to London, give up the job, step out in faith. And it was at that point that we called the elders of the church to come and pray for us. And as they came to pray for us about our future, we said, we'd really love to have a baby. And we've been trying for years. And 1 month later, Alison phoned me to say that she was pregnant. And why was that happening? I don't believe it was the fact that God always answers prayers for infertility. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't. I don't think that's what it was about. I think it was about a time when we were stepping out in faith in our whole lives. Our whole lives were to be based on trust in a supernatural God who can change situations, a God who can do things that we cannot do. I believe that our whole ministry into the future was about helping people to know that God can restore, that God can change lives. And this was not something that I could bring to people, but I could point people to God, who alone has the power to rescue, to restore, to save. So what are you longing for? What are you praying for? What do you want to see change? And do you believe that God has the power to do that. This passage is about restoration. This week, I had a very practical issue to resolve in that the heating packed in. And we have radiators upstairs, trying to bleed the radiators, boiler downstairs, boiler water pouring out of it, lots of controllers on the wall that I don't understand that are just flashing at me. And I realized that I needed someone to help me because our heating system was broken. I needed someone who had knowledge about how to fix it. And someone had to pay for it. And I tell you, the cost of a boiler makes your eyes water. And I'm still holding out. I haven't settled that one yet. But he's got the power because he says, I'll come next week and fix it if you agree the quote. So, something is broken. Someone knows how to fix it, and someone has to pay for it, and it's going to be me. But you see, there's something broken in our world. It's called sin, which has wreaked havoc from the beginning of time in human hearts. Sin, which spoils everything. What is sin? Sin is when we put ourselves in the place of God, where we make all the decisions. We don't consult God. Sin is where... Has anyone played darts? You ever tried playing darts? It looks easy, but it's actually really complicated. You try and hit that bullseye. That bullseye is perfection. The Bible says that we seek to live a good life, but we all miss the bullseye. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this sin has got consequences. It separates us from our loving God, who wants the best for us, but because he's holy, because he's just, he cannot be in close relationship with us when we put ourselves on the throne, when we put ourselves at the center, when we rebel against his ways. Something is broken, and God knows how to fix it. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. Not to say that it doesn't matter. Not to say that the wrong things that have happened are irrelevant. On the contrary, to say it really does matter. It really matters so much that God would die himself. Someone's got to pay for it. He paid for it. And that is what the Bible calls redemption. He paid the price to set us free, to set us free to live as God wants us to live, to serve him in goodness, to serve him without fear. And this is something that only God can do. He's done it for us, and to accept what he has done, we need to say that we're sorry. We need to say sorry for the lost years. Sorry for the times when we've relied upon ourselves. Sorry for the times when we've gone our own way. And then to put our trust in what he has done for us, in dying on the cross for us. That's called repentance. That's called faith. And that is what this passage is all about. You see, this couple that were longing for a child, they were not only given a child, but they were given a child who would have that knowledge of the way of salvation. They would have a child who would know how the problem was going to be solved. But it wasn't through himself, but he would point to the one alone who could solve the problem. He pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who paid the price. And this song is, it's like is often the case in the Bible, it's at the beginning of the book. It's like an introduction. It's like an overture of all that's going to be played out in the rest of Luke's gospel. But I want to focus back on that question. What is broken? What needs to be restored? And who has the power to fix it? Sometimes we think that we can fix it, and we try our best, and we get so frustrated when we can't fix it. But when we learn to hand it over to God, to trust him with all of our heart, to lean not on our own understanding, to in all our ways acknowledge him and trust him for the working out of the future. See, if there was anyone who would understand this, it was Zechariah. He was a priest. He knew the story of Israel. And here he is in the temple. Here he is in the temple. It's not only that he knows the story. It's the fact that the angel comes and personally tells him what's going to happen next. And here we have an amazing thing that he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe. What's the difference between Zechariah and Mary? Zechariah should have known better. In fact, it is a touch of God's grace that God would still answer the prayer and fulfill the promise, even though there was total unbelief. But it's a great, great story for us today, because as David was saying, answering the phone, or the stapler, was it? And sometimes we're just doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, and we feel like we should know better. But as we come into Christmas, can we pray for a restoration of what it's all about? That God would open our eyes afresh to understand what Christmas is all about. A restoration of that knowledge. A restoration of faith and of trust. A restoration of testimony of what God has done. A restoration of joy and of song. Just look at how this. There had been 400 years where there was not a prophet in Israel. And when Zechariah does not believe, he is made silent. Why did God do that? Do you think God was being harsh? Do you think God was punishing him? No, I think it was a sign. It was a sign. It was good that Zechariah was silent because he did not believe. He did not believe. The whole story of what God was going to do through Israel, the whole salvation story that they were praying for the Messiah to come, that was to pray for a miracle of restoration, and he didn't believe it. So it was good that he was silent for a while. He needed to reflect. He needed to pray. But then, when John's name was given, it was believed. And as soon as he said his name is John, his mouth opened, and he sings this song. I'm going to ask you this morning, have you got a song in your heart about Jesus and what he has done? When's the last time, not in church, but on your own, you sang a song to Jesus? See, I think that We even when we go to football matches, we sing a song of joy when they score a goal. But when's the last time we sang a song of joy about what Jesus has done for us? I met with an African friend this week who said we'd meet for coffee, and where would you like to meet? He says, oh, we'll meet in Dobby's. Great, we'll meet in Dobby's. And John and Dorothy Watt came and sat at the table next to us, and we were chatting away about the things of God and our hopes and our dreams for what God may do this Christmas and through the churches in Inverness. And then he said at the end, says, we need to pray. Let's pray. We'll pray here in Dobby's. We'll do it in a quiet voice, but we'll pray here in Dobby's. And he says, I've got a song. Here in Dobby's. Yes, I always sing before I intercede. I praise God and then I pray. Okay, let's do it. Glory to God. Glory to God. And he just started singing. It was fairly quiet. But you know, it just spoke to me in a deep way. This guy, just praising God is so natural for him. He gives glory to God and he doesn't care who hears about it. And then we prayed for God to do things. We prayed for God for revival in Inverness. And at the end of our prayer time, in the middle of Dobby's, there was tears running down his face. He's going, I am so happy that we met today. I thought, wow, he's got a song. I want to have a song like him. And if you have lost your song, we want to help you to find your song again. A song of joy about what God has done in sending Jesus. A recommitment of faith in the God who can do miracles, the God who can do things which for us are impossible, but for him are possible. A restoration of conviction of our need for God. Perhaps this morning you've forgotten how much you desperately need God for your life to work. Perhaps it's to repent and trust afresh. A testimony upon our lips as we invite people to the Christmas services, as we invite people to Alpha in January, to tell people how special Jesus is to you and to say, come and see. Would you do that this Christmas? And when we gather to sing these old carols, that tears would be running down our faces. See, I remember as a student in Edinburgh learning Christmas songs, because I grew up in a church that didn't sing Christmas songs, so they were all so fresh to me. And I wouldn't say this happened too often, but I was cleaning the bath at the time. And as I was getting that scum off the bath, and student flats, their scum is deep. My mum used to come sometimes to visit me, and she'd come in, she'd open her case, she'd put on her apron, and I wouldn't speak to her for the next 3 hours. But there I was that night, cleaning the scum off the bath, and somehow knowing that the scum in my life was completely forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. The scum in my life was made completely clean. The shameful things that would make my head fall, suddenly I could lift my head high and know that I was totally forgiven because God has redeemed me. Because God has rescued me. And the song was Handel's Messiah. Glory to God in the highest. He was despised for me, for you. But he's paid the price. He's fixed the problem. And now he's seated on the throne, and we are to give him all the glory. Will you do that this Christmas? Will you give him the glory? Will you find your song again? Will you call out to God to restore your joy? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Amen. Let's sing a